look at. And listen, on that note, let's bring our good friend Peter Labardius in here, where it's Flames Central, of course, Hockey Central, Flames Edition, and Peter always helps us out. How you doing, Lubo?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
I'm excellent.
Awesome.
I was just saying, at the start of the season, I think there were a few certainties in the NHL, supposed certainties. One, of course, is that Randy Carlyle would be out the door in Toronto as soon as there was any kind of trouble. And I think the second one was that Bob Hartley was just being kept around as a piñata, and when things went badly for the Flames, they were going to get rid of him. And yesterday has changed that entire dynamic. Pete, just your thoughts on that.
Well, I don't know if I ever saw it that way. Maybe some other people away from the team, or there was talk that way. I don't know, Bruce, how anybody could have really entered this season necessarily thinking that way in light of how the team changed last year, how their culture changed, the kind of hockey that they played. So I guess I'm a little surprised to hear if that was kind of the feel. The only thing I would say along those lines is any time a new general manager comes in and maybe doesn't have his own coach, then there's always that kind of speculation. But I think Bob and his coaching staff has done a marvelous job with this group since I've been around on an everyday basis. They're so detail-oriented. Bob is a very honest guy. He pushes and pushes and pushes. And I think his greatest victory, outside of the fact that, in my opinion, and I've been around a few coaches, that this guy's one whale of a hockey coach, is the fact that I think Bruce and guys maybe disagree, if you will, but I'm not so sure that the number one job of any professional coach in this day and age isn't to get your best players and your leadership core to buy in, and that happened. And yeah, that has happened in a big way, and that in so many ways, those two things combined, is why I think this team is definitely done a lot of great things.
Yeah, I mean, Red Dog made that point just a second ago, and we'll get into it a little bit more, but it wasn't planned that way particularly, but he came in just as Jerome Iginla and Mika Kiprusoff, who were the culture guys of the previous regime, were going out the door. There was that chance for him to create a culture, and he had a guy like Mark Giordano who would buy into that. So, you know, he had a lot of things going for him, but he had to make something of it himself. And I was kind of curious when you said that he's changed things. You hinted at a couple of things. I was going to say, how is he changing? If you're telling a fan how he's changed things, what do you see around the team that he's changed that would make that kind of a difference?
Well, I think it's just really what we just talked about, and that is the fact that you have to have your key people on board. And when you combine Bob and how he goes about his business, and I think Bob's is a really good teacher. Listen, his track of success goes back a long, long way. There have not been very many, you know, jobs that Bob's ever had that don't have a successful line to go hand in hand. I mean, he did get the Atlanta Thrashers into the playoffs, if I remember correctly,
yes,
in his time there. You know, Bob, in many ways, going all the way back to his time, you know, in junior A hockey, has always found a way to help his teams get better and win. And more importantly, I think if I was to say this about what I've seen, and again, I think so much of it starts, guys, with the captain. I can never say enough good things, because I think he's the perfect guy for the group where it is, not to mention that he's turned into a Norris candidate and a true one, and probably would be the winner today if they handed out the award, and I would want somebody to argue that. But that's the biggest thing. And I don't think any coach can win the battle and help anybody get better if your key guys aren't on board.
Peter Labardius is joining us on Hockey Central at noon. Bruce Tobigan with you, and Red Dog. Go ahead, Red Dog.
I think that something that people are underestimating is that the relationship that Bob Hartley has with his general manager, I think that the relationship those two have, Brad Treliving and the coach, is huge. And that's one of the reasons I think that he got re-upped. I mean, you look last year, Vancouver, John Tortorella and Mike Gillis hated each other from the word go, and there was definitely not going to be a re-upping. And I think that that's, in addition to the relationship that the coach has with his captain and the players, I think that he and Brad get along very well, and I think that's why he's got a multi-year deal on the table.
Well, I give Brad Treliving a lot of credit, and I think he's an exceptionally bright, hardworking person. with all kinds of experience, and someone who came from a very good organization, and this guy knows every list, every draft list, like the back of his hand. This guy is an absolute tireless worker, and I think it's a great measure of people in, if you will, boss-like positions to not make up their mind before they have a chance to do their due diligence on people. And that, in so many ways, I give this general manager great credit for. He didn't make up his mind on Bob Hartley until he saw and met the man and dealt with the man and saw how he went about his business and saw what Bob Hartley and his entire staff, because I don't want to leave them out, they're a big part of this too, has been able to get out of this group on a day-to-day basis. I think when you're the Flames, gents, what you want as much as anything, needless to say, you want wins, you want, you know, a team to make the playoffs sooner rather than later, but my biggest judge is you want to see your core group thrive and get better, because at the end of the day, I think those two things are synonymous with reaching your goals, being the playoffs, and at some point down the road, becoming a true contender in the National Hockey League. And how would anybody take a look at the Flames' core group of players and say that they haven't prospered under Bob Hartley and his staff?
All right, that is the good news. That is the good news side of the equation today, but we're looking at a six-game losing streak. Let's talk about what's gone wrong in the six-game losing streak. How did we arrive at this point? He's obviously done a good job, but how have we arrived at this point? What's gone wrong?
Well, I don't know if a whole lot, Bruce, has gone wrong outside of the fact that I think at some point in every season, A, you're going to hit a bad stretch, that's A, but B, you know, whether I should be or whether I shouldn't be, I'm a believer that in the end, you usually kind of, not necessarily end up where you belong, but I do think over the course of an 82-game season, things balance out. And I always say it this way, and I believe it. On the Flames' first road trip of the year, they won 4 of 6 games. And I think the Flames were probably the better team on that trip in 6 or 7 of the 18 periods. And yet, they managed to win 4. And their goaltending was beyond belief good during that stretch. Now, and I said it every day on the show for the last 2 weeks now, or since this stretch started, I think this team's playing some of its best, most consistent hockey, but they're not getting a lot of bounces. And I think what also happens, Bruce, is the longer the streak goes, the more sometimes you press to turn everything around. And when you start pressing a little bit, it opens the door to some mistakes and at times some key mistakes. And this, you might not agree with this or not, but they're going through a stretch right now, and I could go back and take up 2 segments to point it out, where, you know, basically every time they make a bad mistake, the red light's going on. And that, as much as anything, is what I've seen.
Yeah, listen, I mean, we're seeing the flip side of it in Toronto, where, you know, they had the losing streak. Now everything's going in. And I'm a big proponent of what you're saying. It's a long season for a good reason, because everybody has to go through it up and down. The key thing in these situations when it's losing is to you know, nip it in the bud. You're going to have some maybe 2 or 3 or even 4 game lose. You just don't want to get 6, 7, 8 game losing streaks. And that's where it can get a little bit tricky. And the Flames are entering on that kind of territory now. Let's talk a little bit then about Dallas tomorrow night. I mean, it would seem to me, guys, that they would be the perfect antidote for what's ailing the Flames.
Unless you watch,
I wouldn't look past Dallas tomorrow night, guys. Sorry to cut you off, Peter, but looking ahead to Vancouver on Saturday night, I think that's a statement game for this team. That if they can come out on Hockey Night in Canada and do the job with a team that's also struggling on the West Coast. Did you see that coming, Peter, at the beginning of the season, that Calgary and Vancouver would hit the skids in December?
No, but I probably didn't see necessarily either of the two sides, Red Dog, getting off to quite the starts that they got off to.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
While I haven't focused in on Vancouver anywhere close to the same way that, you know, I have with the Flames, even last night, and I watched 2 periods of that game against the Stars last night in Vancouver, now Vancouver's lost 5 in a row. Again, you go through these stretches. Vancouver could have easily won that hockey game, but who was the best player in the game? Kari Lehtinen, which is an interesting story going into tomorrow, because Kari Lehtinen this year has not been what he has been the last couple of years. And, you know, in Vancouver, as Bruce knows as well, both you do, now, you know, Ryan Miller, who was wonderful off the start, is, you know, everybody questioned why he wasn't the guy last night, and he hasn't been quite as good. So, I don't know, but the longer I watch this sport, and Bob Hartley says this a lot, if in any game my goalie is better than the other team's goalie, I like our chances.
Yep, it's a goaltender's game. It's like pitching in baseball. If you got the right pitching, it sets you up perfectly for every game. You can get away with bad goaltending and bad pitching for a limited period of time, but it eventually catches up to you. Well, tell us a little bit about Dallas, and you know, you mentioned what you saw last night. You were impressed by it. What did you see, and what is it we're going to see tomorrow night?
Well, last night, I didn't think they were at their best, but their goalie was at their best. I think defensively, they've had some trouble in terms of where they really want to be. They have some young guys on the back end. You know, they made the trade trying to shake things up when they sent Brendan Dillon to San Jose for Jason Demers, and that was somewhat interesting from both sides of the fence, although, you know, I think Dallas was looking for a potential right-handed puck-moving defender, which Demers is, and at the time, San Jose is in the market for probably more of a hard-nosed shutdown guy. But I think, you know, they're still really experimenting on defense, even though it's one of the strengths in their organization. And the other thing, Bruce, I think that has happened a little bit there, and this is just, you know, a take from the outside. It may not have any credibility whatsoever. I think sometimes when you add veteran star players from other teams, it takes a while for everybody to mesh. Because yeah. I think by and large, and they have young leaders in Ben and Seguin in Dallas. Well, I don't know how to put it in proper context, but I think even we've seen it a little bit with the Flames. When older guys who you respect come back in, maybe the feel of, you know, the other guys who had really been making things happen, I think, like, it's not conscious, and it's not like Seguin could do any more. You know, he's been brilliant, but I'm not sure that Jason Spezza marriage has been fabulous as of yet, and I do. I think sometimes it takes time when you bring a player in of that ilk, and here's the other thing about Dallas, and I think Calgary's run into it too, guys, is Dallas opened a lot of eyes, didn't they, last year? They made the playoffs. They gave Anaheim a great run in the first round. So I believe this, and I'm seeing this with the Flames. Teams know the other good teams and good players, and they know they have to ratchet it up. And there are also, you know, some pressures that go hand in hand with high expectations. And don't tell me for a second that the expectations this year in Dallas didn't go up about 3 or 4 notches between making the playoffs and adding some pieces.
Sure. And you've got a coach who is supposedly a coach who knows how to get teams to the playoffs and to do what you're supposed to do within the playoffs. There was a lot of anticipation for them. You're right, Lubo.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to argue it yet. You know, they'll come into Calgary and feed off last night. I think in many ways, you know, this is a huge game. You can look at Vancouver. That's a big one. And Red Dog, I agree with you in terms of statement, national television, the whole thing. But you're going to make the playoffs. Why? Well, you know, the simple math is because there will be, you know, 6 teams below you in the standings. But Dallas is still one of those teams where, you know, every time you can get 2 where they get none, yep, makes that hill a lot harder to climb. And the Flames have a chance, again, with another one of those teams underneath them, you know, to really increase some separation. So in many ways, I think that one is the big one of the weekend.
And guys, if you look at it, 9 points would be the difference. If the Flames win in regulation, a 9-point differential between themselves and Dallas. You get after the Christmas break and you're 9 points ahead of somebody with the tiebreaker points, et cetera,
that's
in the
tough
NHL. That's a tough road to hoe. Red Dog, you got a final question for Pete?
Yeah, I do. Tyler Seguin, the hottest shooter in the league right now. How much fun has he been to watch so far, Peter? And what, for Flames fans at the Dome tomorrow night, what can they expect from him with 25 goals?
Well, you hope he doesn't do what he did again if you're a Flames fan last November the 14th when he threw up a 4 spot and added an assist on a night that Jamie Benn put up 6 points and is in my opinion, maybe have put forth one of the great performances that we've seen on Saddle Dome ice in recent time. There isn't anything Tyler Seguin can't do. He can beat you off the rush. He shoots it a ton. I think he's really matured in the last couple of years. I know there was all those stories coming out of Boston when that transaction was about to go down and then went down.
Sure.
And I will say this to your Red Dog as well, and it's easy to say today, over all the years that I have attended Team Canada under 18 type camps, the second best player I've ever watched in one of those camps, with no disrespect to anybody else, was Tyler Seguin.
Yeah.
And you can guess who the first one was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's certainly, I think the trade was the thing that woke him up a little bit. Because the Leafs are winning at the moment, nobody's talking about it. But as soon as the Leafs start to lose, they'll start to talk about Seguin a lot because, of course, he's the price that they gave up in the deal to get Phil Kessel. And
absolutely. Have we got time for one more quick one,
sure. Go ahead.
Bruce?
Go ahead.
I just want to ask about the Ottawa Senators, Peter, giving Curtis Lazar up to go play in the national team. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it truly increases Canada's chances of winning exponentially. Curtis Lazar is a winner, plain and simple. And I could take up the rest of this hour telling you about times why. Two-time Western Hockey League champion, Memorial Cup champion, was arguably the most consistent forward for his country last year in Sweden, even though that team didn't end up with a medal. There was two guys in particular heading into this year that I thought, well, if Canada could ever end up with these two guys back, boy, oh boy, I'd like this country's chances of doing well. One was Aaron Ekblad, and the other is Curtis Lazar. I believe wholeheartedly in one thing, players that know how to win and want to win. And even when I chatted with Curtis late last year in Edmonton's run to the Memorial Cup, he was already thinking about the potential of winning a gold medal on home soil and potentially wearing a letter for his country. Yeah. That was the first thing he talked about, not necessarily making the Ottawa Senators. And that's the kind of person, A, knows how to win, been there, delivered in big games, played in the tournament before. Yeah, I love this guy. And he does it with a smile on his face, yeah, to the point it almost drives you nuts.
Do you think teams are more willing now to do this and let the guys play in the juniors? Or do you think we're seeing a trend towards letting these guys do this? I mean, for a while, once he stayed there, that was it. Do you think teams are going to see the advantage of letting a guy go and get this kind of experience more than they have in the past?
I hope so, Bruce. And yet I think it always just depends on the team and how well the player is playing and how many minutes they're getting and how they're contributing. But, you know, and even in this case, I was a little concerned with Ottawa and what they might do just because of the fact that Curtis had played in the event before. I think in some ways, you know, teams might be even more willing if it was a situation where a player, you know, hadn't performed in it rather than if they had at this point. But good on the Senators. You know, I wonder if Dave Cameron, a former coach of Team Canada, had some, you know, a little bit of influence there as well, and he knows what it's like and the advantages to go through the program, and has been the head coach and has been an assistant with that group. So more than anything, I'm happy for Curtis. I'm guessing, you know, he might not completely state it publicly because he really can't, but you won't have to worry about how that guy's going to fit in.
Yep. Lou, thanks for the time today. Enjoy the evening off, and we'll look forward to tomorrow with the Stars in town and a chance to end the losing streak.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure.
Take care.
Thanks, Pete.
Hockey Central at noon. Bruce Dobigan, Red Dog with you.